So I guess my point in telling this story was thinking that when people are come into contact with law enforcement, they whip out their badge or their ID. Do you really take time? And in theory, I think the person should to look at it and actually try to verify, because just whipping it out, you hardly get a chance to look at it at all. Because as Daniel and I were talking,
you had mentioned the movie Talon,
easily be somebody that's not an officer, and they have it like a fake badge, and it's easy. I don't know exactly what the Jupiter police badge looks like or the sheriff's office badge. Anyway, so this little story is from
That's true. Yeah, because if they show you a badge, you're just thinking, like,
if they're in their dress, if they're in the proper dress, it's more than just the badge, I guess. The proper dress, the proper vehicle. So actually, I think the dress and the vehicle probably have as much to say about who they are as the badge. But if they happen to be plain clothes, and they walk up to you and they're not even in a vehicle, then that's when you probably need to look at their ID a little closer.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, this on a trip that Mommy and I were in Virginia, I think it's about 11 or 11:30 at night. We're in the Quality Inn where we usually stay. And Mommy, I actually think we might had already been, I don't know if we'd already been out to Walmart earlier that day. That's irregardless. But so Mommy wanted something. So we went to Walmart. Again, I think around 11 or 11:30 at night. We're leaving Walmart. I suppose we got what we were wanting to get. Could have been groceries. Could have been, you have one thing you need and you still see other things you want to get. But that's irregardless. So and Daniel knows kind of the situation with Walmart and the highways and roads. So we come to, we're driving actually within the, on the road, the drive leading from Walmart back to the highway. And the first, there's an intersection, it's a T, where for us to get back to the motel, we would turn right. So as I remember, it was, the light was red. I don't recall what the little sign said. If it said, of course in Florida we know it's okay to turn right on red when there's no traffic. I think I've been doing that in Virginia, and I think they also have the same law. It's okay to make a right on red. If they don't, it may be noted on a small sign, and I don't even recall if that was noted, to tell you the truth. But anyway, again, it was late at night. I don't think it was any traffic. Apparently, I probably did not, and I still don't know if I remember where it ended up being a policeman, not a sheriff. I think it's just a city policeman. So I don't stop completely. It's kind of rolling stop. And I can clearly see the lane of traffic. So there's no reason, I didn't do anything dangerous. It's just I did not come to a complete stop, which is the law. You come to a complete stop. And so I make a kind of a rolling stop. I continue to make my right turn and start going down toward Granny's. I don't get very far, and I see I think I am pretty good about, now and then looking in the rearview mirror. I don't recall. My guess is the flashing lights prompted me to look in the mirror, and I see this cop car. I don't recall if he was directly behind me. It's a dual lane at that point. He might have been in the I suppose he was directly behind me instead of in the lane next to me and kind of following. So, and I know Whitfield, so at the next, I'm pretty sure I actually, I guess I'm not sure. I think, though, that I pulled into another business parking lot. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I actually stopped on the road. You know, I could have pulled to the side of the road, I don't think there's an extra lane of space that's not being used just for people to pull over. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I would have either had to stop actually on the highway or, as I did, I'm quite sure, pull off into this little parking area. I mean, into the next little business area, yeah. Can you pause it?
Totally.
If I need to think.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to think, though.
Also, you know what? A lot of people do is, afterwards, I'll pause it so you see. So you like hit pause, on pause, and then I guess if it's on mute, it's blinking, right?
No. It's not blinking.
So. Okay, so we never pause, we never hit mute then?
I didn't know. You hit it. You did it.
Okay.
But it's on
again. I guess as long as we got waveforms, we know.
So I can talk again.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So, again, I pulled over.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And I guess I was kind of wondering what's this all about. I don't know that I had a preconceived idea. Well, I can't remember. Oh, I made a rolling stop. That's why he's probably... So, anyway, he gets out of his vehicle, comes up to my vehicle. I know kind of the drill. I'm already getting my driver's license out, and I think... the registration, because I know that's what they're going to ask for. And I think I rolled down the window and also opened the door.
Oh.
And I don't think that's what you should do. I think you're just supposed to. But again, I haven't been pulled over that many times to know. Well, again, and
telling the end of the story. And she was saying, "Dope! You got out of the car? No.
Well, I didn't get out, but I did open the door. I'm pretty sure.
Don't say I'm a terrible interviewer. Stop interrupting the man. Let him talk.
And, you know, I can see he's a really young... I'll just use the word cop. He's a really young guy. He says his name. He's got a badge on. I don't know that I could see it all that well. I don't... You know, as you know, I wear glasses when I read now. I suspect it was a big enough... Anyway, I didn't catch the name, so I think I asked him maybe twice. I didn't ask him twice. He told me. I'm quite sure he told me. And then I asked him his name. Well, I don't remember what his name is now, but, you know, I'm thinking, I know people from Whitfield that have that last name, so I think I was starting to engage him, and I think I reached to get a better look at the, as if I'm about to touch him, to get a better look at the name tag, because he did not whip out a badge or anything. I think it was just the, so I'm about, you know, just starting to be interested to talk to him. So that was probably a no-no also, but at some point he did get the, you know, the information he wanted, the driver's license and the, and he told me, well, you know, and I honestly think, I'm thinking, and maybe I did see him, and I really don't recall where he came from. If he was, I'm pretty sure he was not behind me. So I'm thinking he was probably parked, possibly on the main highway.
Oh, yeah.
I really can't recall that. But in my mind now, after it's all happened, I'm thinking that he knows this is what I think. He thinks I saw him. So if he doesn't pull me over...
Oh, he's not like...
He's not doing his job, so to speak.
I see.
So, well, and if we do the other scenario, that I didn't have any inkling there was a policeman, a cop around, and then he sees me do it, because I really do think that he... realizes, well, what he did probably has been done many times before by all other people, and there's not much traffic, So what's the big deal? Now, it would be true that if he was behind me, he would see the Florida tags. And sometimes that's actually on a lot of other, in a lot of other place, small towns, that's a, I think, a, when they see Florida tags, this is an easy, this is easy money.
Yeah.
They're not going to come back to the court case. So they'll just pay the fine. That's my perception.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I was about to, I don't recall if I asked him. Well, I don't think I did. Do you know it's such and such? I think I actually said maybe
you
made a reference. Yeah, I made a little bit of small talk, maybe something about his age. I think I was about to ask him something, but I kind of kept my cool, to not belabor the thing any longer than it should be. The bottom line, though, was he no ticket. He just nothing written was given to me. He just kind of said, "Well, you didn't come to a complete stop." Was basically what he said. And it was a red light. You need to come to a complete stop. And basically just said, "Well, hope you have a good visit. To kind of." And I think, we finally pulled out and continued on to the motel. I don't know. I don't recall if he passed us or went back to where he had been. And
well, you're probably a the very other good, the person to interact
well,
with.
Well, and he can
like
see he can
that
see
don't
our
fight with them. You know.
Yeah, I
and
suppose.
And you might have been a refreshing exchange because you even had fun, nice, like just treat him like a human being, and then now mm-hmm. he's. Got some gratitude toward you. You said you were talking about the town, or maybe your
well,
small
I don't,
talk.
No, I don't think I hardly did. I was about to, but I don't think I did much small talk. And this could be another story. The mom took over talking to him.
Oh, that's right. You were with mommy.
But I won't say anything about that at this moment, at least.
So mommy saw you talking to him? Like you got out of the car?
No. I'm not. I didn't get out.
Oh,
I'm still sitting there. Mommy's sitting.
Okay.
It's the two seats.
I see.
So mom had a reason to start talking. And her reason is basically has nothing to do with him. That, maybe this is a family that, because she wouldn't know the family names in Whitfield. I mean, she does know, she knows Umberger Williams. She knows our family, but she wouldn't know. Hardly any. She knows Danny Gordon. She does know a few family names in Whitfield, but she wasn't born there, so she can't relate too well to people from Whitfield.
Yeah.
It seemed like maybe I did ask him where he was from. And there again, there's no guarantee that he's even from Whitfield. He's could be from another area. Another probably most likely from Virginia, but you study. Law enforcement, and you get a job wherever you can, and he could have easily been from one or two counties away, and that was the job he got. Yeah, I don't even recall. I don't really recall much about him other than the fact that he was really young. Probably maybe as young as 23, 24 even. I mean, but I will say that, I would say, well, he did his duty.
Yeah, isn't it nice? Because,
I mean, in a way, I was...
You didn't get a ticket.
It was nice to not get the ticket. I suppose he would have been in his full... It would have been... But then that would have been such a... If there had been an accident involved, that would have been an investigation and a ticket, I suppose. And I definitely did not roar into it and just sweep around. I definitely did slow down. So it was really a kind of a rolling, but I did not come to a complete stop. That's true for sure. But who knows? Again, I don't recall all my thoughts before we actually pulled over. If I thought, well, I didn't think I was speeding. I don't recall the speeding limit. I think it is fairly slow, probably 25 still. I don't think I'd got up to speed yet, because I'm quite sure going back to the motel at night, there's probably, I wouldn't doubt that sometimes I might be a little over the speed limit. Yeah, because I do know after you, on the lower, on the south side of town, again, before you get to the motel, I think the speed limit goes back up to maybe, I'm thinking 45, possibly. Oh, yeah. But my guess is right there at Walmart is probably as low as 25. Yeah.
So, do you remember you were talking about that movie? You thought it was the Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yeah, I think that's the movie where this.
I saw that in Idaho, Indiana. It was real disturbing, right? Because the way it's set up, you're identifying.
Okay, it was that old.
Wow. You're identifying with Matt Damon probably because wasn't he in? I don't remember when Private Ryan came out, but I got the feeling Matt Damon was already kind of well known.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was why people watched it, because like, let's watch Matt Damon again.
Yeah.
But in this, he wasn't necessarily this good guy, right? It was very much gray area because of the stuff he was doing. Yeah. I mean, you rooted for him because it was rags to riches, but it was like homoerotic, right? Because he kind of was getting into that guy, the relationship, whatever. He had something where it's like. He didn't get his way in the relationship with that guy, and it was never sexual, but the guy didn't want to be what Matt Damon wanted, and then he killed him at the end, in the boat.
I guess I don't remember that
part. Yeah, because that's the super disturbing part, because everything else up to it, you're kind of, oh yeah, cool, this poor kid is impersonating that he has higher status, like in college, and at every level, and he's convincing his friends, and then he's able to get these, you know, good jobs and money, and he totally advanced himself. But that was all he knew, was this impersonation. So it was like, even when he got to the position of wealth and he became the act, he was still an actor. So he never really felt like comfortable in his skin. And then it was like this weird thing where it became like a psychological thriller or something where you're watching the mind of the disturbed and like you're, oh no, what's he gonna do now? And then like he almost killed that girl. Remember he put away the razor blade. He was in the bathroom.
I remember there was a girl involved, but I don't remember that either.
And I
may not have watched the movie all the way through, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I remember watching it, and I was like, disturbed. The only reason I brought it up, I'm not trying to make it still disturbed, but I was just saying that it was interesting as just trivia, because I and Steven had been talking about this new actor, and I'm just just trying to make one anecdote. It's not like it shouldn't be a long one. The famous actor Tommy... Tommy Wiseau. I mean, he's not famous really. He's famous for the wrong reasons. He's known for making the best worst film of all time, right? So you get the nuance there. It's considered the worst film, but it's considered the best worst film.
Well, the best worst.
So it's like the film is so bad.
It's really
bad. You know what I should try, because I'm actually talking. I don't know. Can you do this? Because my hands are greasy. I think your hands are poking. Can you turn that to the dial one to the right? It's the circle.
All the way. It's
going. Yeah.
So just one more.
Yeah, it might be a little hard to turn because it's designed not to be like easily bumped.
Okay, it's a dial.
So now the levels for me should be improved because now it should be doubled back and forth. Since I guess I'm going to be saying a few sentences. But the only thing I was going to say about that was just that Tommy Wiseau, I'm just going to establish who he is so you'll understand the reference to telling Mr. Ripley, that's all. Tommy Wiseau is a guy who used to sell birds on a stick, right, as a tourist thing in California, in the San Diego or San Francisco area, one of the two. And he ended up...
Not birds, right?
No, you know, just in the 80s, people were getting into these styrofoam birds on wire sticks. You know, the guy shows it to the kid, and then they said, I want one. And then they buy it for $6 maybe, or $14, some crazy amount. And from China, they cost, like, so small that this guy was able to save enough money and then buy real estate. And then at some point, he became multimillionaire. And this is an immigrant, right? This is a guy from, like, Poland, right? His accent is... It reminds you of... some people you know who have second language English, who know, you know, no matter how much education they get and how many years they stay in America, they still sound very clearly like somebody who's from somewhere, you know. And anyway, he had a real name, but he ended up being called Tommy Wiseau. Wiseau is French for bird. Mm-hmm. He was called the Birdman, right? So, you know, he's just a really good salesman, I guess, right? But he had this near-death experience where he was in a car accident, and I believe it disfigured his face a little bit. And he was self-conscious about the way his face looked when he went into
following his passion, I guess after you survive near death, you reassess like the things that really matter to you, right? And he had so much money at this point. So he went to film school. And he can't speak English very good. And he's not like considered a good actor. He's considered such bad an actor. It's almost like him trying to act in itself is so amusing that it doesn't matter that he's terrible at acting. You just watch. The only people watching are the people that are amused by Tommy Wiseau. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you can think of people like that, that's basically what he turned out to be. And his situation was when he kept trying to get into the film or Hollywood, he did it in a way that just didn't work. You know, mm-hmm. he took the classes and the teachers always criticized him, and he defended himself and acted very very passionately, but in a way that just wasn't productive to what they wanted. You know. So, like, if he got up there, he might have just done something like, all right, it's your turn. What are you going to do? Present to us. And then, yeah, I guess he said, like, I'm going to present something from Tennessee Williams' play. Mm-hmm. And then he goes up there, and it's, like, nothing like what you're expecting from Tennessee Williams. You think to yourself, what is he doing? He just gets up there, and he's like, ah! And he's just, like, screaming, and he falls before it. Now, to some people who maybe are very, shy or whatever, introverted, that might seem very powerful and liberating, right? Like, who's this guy who's not afraid to go up there and do that? And that was what Greg Sestero thought, a man who's much younger than him, who ended up becoming his friend. And that's the story of these two guys who went on to make a very famous movie that is now famous for being the best, worst film of all time. And it even got remade by James Franco, who's actually somewhat legitimate. Yeah, you've even heard of him, right? Yeah. Seth Rogen was the director for it. And that guy is perpetually using marijuana. So he seems to speak in a way where he's, always, telling the truth about things and stuff like that. You know, how people would do. And those two made that film. And they have the highest admiration for Tommy, but will speak openly that, yes, we know that The Room, that's the name of the film that he made that became famous, the Tommy Wiseau made. The Room is a terrible film for so many reasons. But and this is their, you've heard the term apologist, like Christian apologists. So you know that the thing that identifies their approach is like they speak in the terms of like, yes, I know that there's criticism against Jesus. I know people think that we're a bunch of this and this, and sometimes they think this, and they accuse this. And they go at it at that tact, and then they start to make inroads into the skeptic. So, like, if you were to pick something to send to your relative who's a devout, like, soldier of the faith or something, you wouldn't need to give them a recording of an apologist making a speech because they're already on board. But the apologist speech is for the people who aren't. So that's the way, like soul winning, like reaching out to these, the apologists are like, that's a very powerful tactic. Because they're like, look, I was a cynic too, or like,